It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We are starting a new chapter, Book of Luke, chapter 8. And we are going to start from verse 1.
And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God.
Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he says he went preaching every village, every city, and telling the people about the kingdom of God. And the word of God says all these 12 apostles were with him. So this was their training period, going village to village, going city to city. Now here we see the verse 2 and 3. If you read, there were certain ladies serving the Lord with their finances. Please read.
And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance.
See, substance can be food, substance can be money, can be clothes, or anything. And who are these ladies? One, he says, the lady had the seven demons, but she was also helping Jesus with the finances. When God has done something good to us, we are not going to forget. Now, there is another person's name is given. That lady is one of the wives of the Herods. In Herod is a king. And this man was working in his kingdom somewhere. And his wife also was helping with the finances. So, many people, when they get saved, healed, delivered, and set free, they are thankful to God and helping the ministry with the finances. Now, when you have a job and you give up the job and follow the Lord, where the money is coming? Peter, Andrews, James, and John, they were a businessman. They had a fishing business, and we just learned they give up all the fishing business and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine 12 disciples plus Jesus, 13 people to take care of their food, their clothes, and their traveling? All of these things cost money. Thank God, these ladies had some kind of desire to help Jesus and his disciples with the finances. We will be reading later on, maybe in Luke chapter 10, there were 70 more disciples were chosen. So can you imagine all of these people's finances to take care? And these are the ladies. There are a few ladies' name given, but there might be hundreds of them helping the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. Without the finances, without the help of the children of God, the ministry cannot go on. Verse 4.
And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable.
Now this parable is given in Matthew chapter 13, 1 to 23, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Let's read the verse 5.
A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now this parable sounds to be very simple, but when he gave the parable, and the word of God says he cried and he said, who has the ears, let them hear. Now, many people are thinking, many people has ears, and people hear. But the hearing means what? Obeying. When you listen to something, and if you do not obey, that means you didn't hear it. Disciples still didn't understand. Let's read the verse 9.
And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.
Disciples, they are asking, What is the meaning of these parables? And Jesus Christ is saying, I'm talking to these people. These people's mind is dull. They're not going to understand. But I'm giving the parable to them, but the mystery of the kingdom of God is given unto you. If you read in the book of Isaiah, that's what Jesus Christ is quoting from. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read 2 verses 9 and 10.
And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed.
God talked to people of God from different ways, and the prophets, and various ways. But in last days, he says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, he talked to us through his son. But still, Jesus Christ is himself giving the parables. Disciples didn't understand. They start asking, could you tell us what this is? He says, it is given unto you the mystery of the kingdom of God. Go to the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 26. Up to now, the mystery of the kingdom of God was hidden. Jesus Christ is the only one came to reveal what the God is and what the heaven is. But still people didn't understand while he was preaching. He said to his disciples in John chapter 14, 15 and 16, he said, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will guide you, teach you. And whatever I taught you, it will come to your memory. Paul is saying, this mystery was hidden for ages. Please read.
Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
To whom the mystery is given? To his saints. Jesus says, this is given to you, because this disciple followed Christ. So he says, this mystery was hidden from generation. What is the mystery? If somebody says, what is the mystery? Mystery is Jesus Christ. People didn't know who Jesus is. Even though he said, I'm a son of God, they didn't want to know. And through Jesus Christ, the salvation is given. So once you know who Jesus is, all the mystery will be revealed to you. Jesus Christ is the hidden mystery in the Word of God. And so once we know Jesus, our mind is completely opened. Jesus Christ becomes the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the power of God to us. And so once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our minds, our spirits opens, and our understanding opens, and then we can understand much more. If somebody is not born again, this Bible is like a closed book. But once the person receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, what happens? The Bible becomes open. We understand better. So the born-again people understand the Bible much more better than the worldly people. Let's read the verse 11.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Now Jesus Christ says, okay, I'm going to let you understand the parables. And he starts explaining the parables. The first he said, now the parable is this. What is this? The seed is the word of God. Now, God is the source. Seed is Jesus Christ. So he says, the seed is the word of God. And if you read the St. John chapter 1, verse 1, what he says? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So The Word of God is saying Jesus Christ is the Word of God. God speaks to the mankind. He speaks through Jesus Christ. So the Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 13, if you read, it says, Jesus Christ's name is the Word of God. So the Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And so what Jesus Christ himself is saying, the seed is the Word of God. So you say, seed is the Word, or the Word is Christ. And so when we receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the time we get saved. Though we have to receive the Word. Read the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says that the Word we have to receive, and that Word gives us born-again experience, or we can be born by the Word of God.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Now see, he says, not with the corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. So when you say seed is the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the seed of God and the Word of God. And the Word of God says, we are corruptible. When we die, our body decays. But once we receive the seed or the Word of God, it transforms our spirit as well as our body. Because we are born again, when we die, even though our body decays, Jesus Christ comes, resurrects this body, and this body takes a new form, and then we go to heaven. So here the Word of God is saying, how we get saved? Listen to the Word of God and receive the Word of God. And when you receive the Word of God and believe the Word of God, then we get born again. And so the Word of God is Jesus Christ. Receiving the Word means receiving Jesus Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are born again. So here Jesus Christ is saying the seed is the Word of God. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 12.
Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
The seed is fallen the wayside, mean the pathway. So seed is fallen by the pathway, so he says, the devil comes and takes the seed away. Why the devil is taking the seed away? Because he said, the people should not believe in Jesus Christ, and those people should not be saved. 13:19, Matthew.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside.
The word of God is sown. He says, when the word comes to you, and if you do not understand, then the devil comes to take it away. What does it mean? When somebody hears the word, you have to have a desire to understand what the word is saying. And when you read the Bible and some words pops up and tells you something, but if the person doesn't want to hear that word, they will say, oh no, not this is chapter or not this words. Even the word of God wants to give you message or change you or try to inspire you or something. You have to understand what the Word of God is saying. So that's what the Word of God is saying. When the Word was given to these people, they did not understand. That's why the devil confuses. When some words comes to you, he will confuse you, and he will not allow you to understand, and that words will be taken away. As soon as the Word is sown in your heart, Satan comes, how? Immediately. He doesn't give you chance to understand. That's what the Matthew was saying. When you don't understand, the devil comes and takes the word. Mark says, devil comes immediately and steals the words from your heart. And the Luke says, devil comes and takes the word away out of your heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So the point is, devil doesn't want us to understand the word. Devil doesn't want you to get saved. Once you start meditating on those words, God will speak to you. The word has power. The word has life. And once you read the word, study the word, meditate on the word of God, your life is going to change because word has power. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8, and start reading from verse 13.
They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away.
Some seed fell on the rock, rocky ground. Now, this rock is not presenting Christ, because there is a scripture, rock present the Christ. But this rock means just like a stony ground, if the seed falls, they don't have enough soil, they don't have enough moisture. So the seed comes very fast and grows fast and the people get excited. Those are the people, they receive the word with joy and they don't have much root to go this seed down. And they believe, and the time of temptation or time of trial comes, they fall away. And within a week or maybe within a day or two, they just backslidden or do not want to hear the word. He says, why this happened? He says, because the enemy comes and sees there is no more root. This person heard the word but didn't know what to do with it. And that's why the devil comes, confuses you, gives you some kind of trials and troubles. And then you said, well, I don't want to know more about God. I don't want to go to church because it's too hard. I cannot live that kind of life. And it's so difficult. And I don't want to follow the Christ. So the Christian life is not a life of defeat. The devil will come to destroy you. Now this seed is on the soil, but still the devil did not allow that seed to bring fruit. And that's what happened. The Christian life is a life of bearing fruits. Okay, let's read the verse 14.
And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection.
Now here is another seed fallen in the thorny ground. Now some of the thorny bushes like maybe 3 feet, 4 feet high. So the seed try to come up to the level of the thorny bush. But that bush did not allow that seed to go further. So the Jesus Christ is saying, do you know what kind of seed is this? Or what kind of plant is this? When you sow it, they grow and they are excited. But at the same time, he said that growth is choked. Why? Because he says the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. When the people getting born again and saved, several things happens. Cares of this world means we worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen? Jesus Christ says, don't worry for tomorrow. God will give us grace to take care of tomorrow. So we should not be worrying. If you have time, go to the book of Matthew and start reading chapter 6, verses 25 to maybe 34. And in that scripture, we'll say everything about not to worry about food, about clothing, about anything. So here he's saying the people who get saved, they are not trusting in the Lord. We are born again people. We don't worry about what the news says. Now he says the economy is bad. People are losing jobs. People are not having jobs. We are born again Christians. What are we supposed to say? God can create a job for me. There is no lack of job. God is my source. Last Sunday when the lady came and she said, I got a job. Now how she got a job and some people are laid off? Because she came and she said, Pastor Peter, please pray for me. I should have a job. And not only that, when she got a job and she wrote a check to the church. So she is thankful to God that in this kind of time, God gave me a job. So the word of God is saying, when you get saved, concentrate on the Word of God. Concentrate on Jesus Christ. Trials will come. Tribulation will come. Problem will come. For what? To pull you down. But if you are in the sight of God, what the Word of God says? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be always with you. And that's the promise we have. But when you call upon Jesus, say, Lord, I need your help. He will help you. One man, middle of the night, he calls me 2 o'clock. He says, Pastor Peter, I don't know you. My grandmother gave me your telephone number. I said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, tonight, I'm going to kill myself. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm living in the basement. I have a girlfriend. She goes to work. She brings the money. I smoke. I drink. I do drugs. I don't want to show my face to anybody. So I'm always hiding myself in the basement. But tonight, I decided to end my life. So my grandmother says, before you do anything, give call to Pastor Peter. So he said, what is your message for me? I said, sir, dying is very easy. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will rescue you. He will give you new life. And all the drugs and alcohol and everything will go away. Just believe. And he prayed with me sinner's prayer. And I prayed for him. Next day, he goes to look for a job. He got a job. He got saved. He got baptized. He got 3-piece suit. He got married the same lady. And he comes to the house of grandmother, knocking at her door, and she opens the door, and he said, Grandma, you must be born again. She was Methodist. Grandmother right away called me, said, Pastor Peter, what did you do to my grandson? I said, what did I do? I just gave him the Word of God. She said, he is here standing with me, knocking at my door and saying, Grandma, you should be born again. I said, he's right. The thorny ground chokes the growth of the plant. And so that thorny ground, he says, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life choke the growth. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 15.
But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
If the seed is sown in a good ground, what these people are doing, they are honest, means they are listening to the Word of God. And when they hear the Word of God, they keep the Word of God in their heart. See here, say, they keep it. And so you are not listening and keeping the Word or storing the Word in your heart. He says, they listen to the Word and they keep it. When you keep the Word in your heart, it will protect you from committing sin. Read the Psalm 119 and verse 11.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee.
See, the Word of God, when you read, you study the Word of God, and what you do? Keep that word in your heart. If you have the Word of God in your heart, then you cannot sin against God. When you keep the Word of God in your heart, those people can bring forth fruit with patience. So the farmer has the patience. Farmer doesn't sow the seed and within the next day comes and say, why it didn't come? Let me dig and find out why the root is not coming. You have to wait patiently. He says, the farmer waits for first rain and the latter rain. And so patiently you wait, then you get the fruit. You cannot get panic. Somebody says, I went to church, I gave my tithe, I gave my offering, and I'm not getting any hundredfold return. It doesn't work that way. You don't give something to get something back. You give it to the Lord because you love the Lord. And then God sees your heart, and then he gives a growth. Book of Hebrews and chapter 10 and verse 36 to 39. It says, we should be patiently waiting.
For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
When you get the promise, when you do the will of God, keep on studying the word, keep on reading the word, keep on giving the tithes, keep on going to church, and do not forget to do the good things. And then the word of God says, the promise will come. Verse 37.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
Jesus Christ says, I'm going to go, I'll prepare a place, and I'll come back again. Many people say 2,000 years passed, he's not coming, let's do whatever we want to do. He says, a little while. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're waiting for him, you will not say, he's not going to come. He will come, and he will not tarry. Read a little bit further.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
See, the just shall live by faith. Just means what? A righteous man. We are the righteous people. How we became righteous? Because the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed his blood and forgive all our sins. We were not worthy to go to heaven. He died for us, washed us with his precious blood. Now we belong to Jesus Christ. So the word of God says we are a believers. When we are born again people, we have faith in God. We have faith of God. We are called by Jesus Christ. We are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Once we have faith in God, whatever the problem comes, we can handle it. Verse 39.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
See, he said, we are not the people like the world. We are saved by faith. We are going to keep our faith. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 16.
No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light.
We are the children of God. We have the light of God. And if you are a born-again child of God, what are you going to do? You're going to shine. That's what he's trying to say. So he's saying, we are the light of the world. And we're supposed to shine and let the whole world know that we are called by God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us grace that we are belong to you. You have called us from the out of the darkness, and you brought us into your kingdom of light. There are people dying without God and without Christ. The people do not have hope. But thank you, Lord, for saving us, healing us, delivering us, and setting us free. Let your light shine through us. Let the people see Jesus in us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of the darkness unto your marvelous light. And let that reflect the light of Jesus Christ to dying world. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.